This is the Actual Facts Crime Boss AU, a Star Wars Book of Boba Fett reconstruction era, technically The Mandalorian, oral not fic created by Rena Jenkins as part of Drop the Knot 2022. The story is rated PG-13 for swear words like dank ferric and actually committing a crime on screen. With additional tags for alternate universe, canon divergence, alternate universe, post episode 6, Leia the Hutt Slayer, fake dating. Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. Boba's backstory, we'll keep it. You know what? I am nothing if not a sucker for someone who gets adopted by accident slash forcibly. So Boba crawls his way out of the Sarlacc pit. And you know what? He does. He gets picked up by the sand people. He gets picked up by the Tuskens. And they're like, first of all, like, you know what? Free labor. We didn't have to pay for him. He's not one of ours, so we can do what we want to him. He does the thing where he strangles the centaur monster with his own chain. It is very reminiscent of Leia strangling Jabba. And he gets adopted by the Tuskens, and that stays. That's fine. I felt like, you know what? At first I wasn't totally here for it, but give the boy a soft landing. It grew on me. The Pikes decide to fuck around and find out they don't massacre all of the Tuskens. The Tuskens have been surviving for hundreds of years in the worst conditions possible. The Hutt Tuskens go literally underground, hide in a cave, don't all get murdered. However, the fact that the Pikes attempted to murder all of his friends and new family still sets Boba on his path towards vengeance. So he makes his way into Mos Espa, and he sees in the town center this 13-foot-tall statue made of melted-down pieces of Jabba's barge. And it is Leia the Hutt Slayer. She is holding, she's got her hand upraised, and maybe it's not, like, actually the world's best representation of Leia Organa's face, but he recognizes that gold bikini. He recognizes that pose of power. And there's an upraised hand that is holding the actual jangles in the breeze chains that was recovered when that went down. Because Boba missed how that all played out when he makes, like, when he, between the moment when Luke was about to get walk the planked into the Sarlacc pit, and he accidentally landed in the Sarlacc pit, and then everything that went down on the barge, Boba missed that. He's been living in the desert, literally in a tent. He missed the geopolitical upheaval of the fall of Jabba the Hutt. So he walks into Mos Espa because maybe he's thinking, you know what, I'm gonna get muscle reinforcement, something. I'm going to find out what hold the Pikes have on this town. And that's when he sees the statue to Leia the Hutt Slayer from the people of Mos Espa, who, yeah, okay, there have been some biker gangs that have, swoop gangs, that have moved their way into the power vacuum in the immediate surroundings. But in the macro sense of things, Jabba the Hutt's crime empire held a plug against the expansion of the Empire. The New Republic is not super, they're not completely concerned by the fate of Tatooine because they're like dealing with the Imperial remnant, but they're also like, we can't ignore this because this is a hole in our borders that we have to either absorb this planet so that no one else can like fill this vacuum, or we have to plant our own person here in order to maintain, like, knowledge about this. So Boba walks into town. It's kind of the start of a joke. Mandalorian walks into a bar. And he decides The New Republic, like from what he saw when he was running with Din, and they had to do the thing where they got the guy from the fact that the New Republic, okay, sorry, I've forgotten people's names, but in The Mandalorian season 2, they get the bald guy who can give them intel on the Imperial outpost, that's the remaining Imperial outpost, from a Republic-run prison camp in the Spice Mines. So what Boba has seen of the Republic since the fall of the Empire, like literally, he's getting a crash course on interplanetary geopolitics, right? What he has seen of the New Republic is that they are just as bad as the Empire as far as slave labor of political prisoners go. That's not a great tweak. But he knew Leia. She was a guestage in his bedroom for a night between the period where she was Bosch and the period where she was in that slave bikini. So I love the whole sexy times in Jabba's palace kind of backstory that you can put in there for Leia and Boba. And, oh, no. This is mine, sir. Excuse me. Sorry, my brother-in-law's cat got into the yarn. Anyway, so Boba has at least a little bit of a personal connection to Leia, and to see that she took down Jabba the Hutt, and that the people of this town hold her in such high esteem. He knows enough that he can fake being closer friends than they actually are. So he walks into the cantina. Possibly he walks into the Twi'lek brothel slash gaming tables thing, because I like Madame Garza and we're going to give her a bigger role. And instead of saying, "I'm the new boss," he comes in saying, "I am the hand of the new boss." Because Bib Fortuna's been sitting on Jabba's chair, but right of conquest goes to Leia. So he walks in and says, "I am Leia's agent for the New Republic slash," or no, he just says, "I am Leia's agent." And he lets the people of Tatooine build his backstory. Some of them think that he is there as an agent of the New Republic. Some of them think he is there because Leia, they don't know that she was the Princess of Alderaan. They just know she's Leia the Huttslayer and that she is solidifying her hold. Some of them think that there's a third front involved in this fight between Bib Fortuna and the Pikes and the mayor. Basically, he shows up posing as Leia's agent, and he knows enough about her that he can front like their bosom buddies. Bosom. And nobody in Mos Espa knows Leia enough to admit he might be wrong. Instead of, so like the first crime right there is identity theft. And then maybe he does. Second thing he does after showing up in town and putting out the word that Leia the Huttslayer has come to retake her territory is to shoot Bib Fortuna in the head. But the whole time, okay, that is murder. That's a crime. Two crimes for Boba. High five. The whole thing then plays out a little bit differently because the Pikes show up again. And they're like, "Well, we don't have to do what you say. We don't have to pay you tribute. We don't have to anything except..." The rest of the Pike Syndicate is in New Republic space, and they know that the reputation of Leia Organa, senator for Alderaan, or princess of Alderaan, I'm not sure which point in her time period she is yet, they know that she is making waves and shutting shit down. So they're actually afraid of her. And somewhere in the Pike Syndicate, word gets back that Leia Organa's agent has come to retake Tatooine and establish a foothold for her to return. And that scares the Pikes. Possibly not enough for them to leave, you know, and skip the whole drama. Boyd, Boba cashing in on Leia's political clout in this moment has a much bigger impact than just hopefully you forget that as a bounty hunter, I was technically gainfully employed and not committing crime and paying my taxes out of my deposit from the Empire. Like, because honestly, it's like saying I'm a postman. Do fear me because I follow my route as a dictated every day. Like, it's not. He was gainfully employed by the, you know, horrible and yet recognized government. Like, so technically he's not that threatening in the eyes of the Pikes. He wasn't committing crime. He was just following his job. Anyway, so Leia's political clout, it looks to the Pike Syndicate like the New Republic is making waves to expand into the Outer Rim. Which then, the next time the Pikes come to visit and there are New Republic cops hanging out in the airspace immediately above Tatooine, lends their presence weight. It actually looks like the New Republic is attempting to consolidate its hold. Instead of, like, why do we have rando fucko cops in the middle of Prussia? Like, it makes it look like there's logic behind the X-Wing pilots showing up when they did, as opposed to just, here's a cameo because I feel like it, which was the actual thing on the TV show, and there was no, deep breaths. Okay, so Boba has his first parlay with the Pikes, and they infer things he did not explicitly say, and they infer a significantly greater threat behind him. All the while, Boba has not, like, sent a letter to Mrs. Leia Organa Solo, care of Coruscant. By the way, I am acting in your name. Please send stamps. Like, he's not actually told her any of this. Leia does not find out until later, because I'm shippy. And anyway, so he's shot Bib Fortuna and he's fed Bib Fortuna to the critters of the desert Juddlan wastes. And then Jabba the Hutt's cousins show up. You know who they show up with? Lil Stinker. Do you remember in the Clone Wars cartoon, season 1, episode, I guess 2 technically, that time when Jabba the Hutt's son was kidnapped by the Separatists in order to frame the Republic, and then we never saw Jabba the Hutt's child ever again? Well, rather than I'm two cousins who've come up out of nowhere, it is I'm two cousins who have been raising the child of the man who held this territory, and really, if anyone should have a rightful claim to it, it's Lil Stinker. So we're going to make the intrigue even better. Because the Hutt Empire is like, no, I'm not going to give up my territory here, especially considering the Hutt Empire has lasted through the Old Republic, through the Emperor Palpatine's galactic empire. The Hutt Empire has lasted since the first and second Mandalorian Empire. The Hutts are not going to take this lying down, which is funny because they're mostly lying down all the time. But they're also not going to commit significant resources to a problem that might be solved for them. So these cousins might be slightly expendable. Lil Stinker is really only useful as a child king kind of situation. The cousins would be regent and consolidate the Hutt Tatooine space, blah, 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 into their space. But basically, we have actual political intrigue happening there. And yet, Leia Organa strangled Jabba with her bare hands. That's the kind of thing that doesn't go unnoticed. The town has built a legend around her, and it's been 6 years. So the legend of Leia coming up as a slave in order to strangle the man who held her. Like, that is the kind of legend that spreads through an enslaved planet like wildfire. Oh, only not on Tatooine, because they have nothing to burn. And basically, Boba showing up as Leia's agent changes the game board drastically. And then eventually Leia does find out about him using her name, and so she shows up on Tatooine. And then, like, if she doesn't back his play, the planet will fall into greater strife. But if she does back his play, she has to stay and see it through. So fake dating, undercover as having a relationship that does not exist. And also actually committing crime. For real this time. Also, Fennec Shand loves Leia. She's super into this woman who both commits great violence and also looks incredible while doing it. And also, on the fourth hand, you know, manages to play the political game in a way that just, like, is alien to this sort of bounty hunter mercenary thing. And yet Leia's name has made her way through the whole galaxy. She is a name to be feared. So, like, we'll give Leia and Fennec an opportunity to go get facials together and do girly bonding. It will be wonderful. And, of course, the whole time Leia decides, you know what, it is less troublesome if I back Boba's play, because then he'll owe me, and it'll give us a reason for the New Republic to reach out to Tatooine.
Ooh, okay. Actually, all right, taking one step back, how Leia finds out. The New Republic is currently attempting to consolidate its hold, right? It's a little bit past the do you even recognize the New Republic as a government, but it is not far enough from the moment where basically, there are still a lot of planets in the mid-rim and the outer space, outer rim spaces that, you know, the Old Republic never did anything for me. The Empire never really did anything for me, but they kind of left me to my own devices, right? So there's definitely enough planets on the mid-rim, outer rim kind of space of the zones of the Old Republic, right? Like, there's a lot of neighborhoods in space that the New Republic is attempting to put a new branding on old maps. They are not un-gerrymandering space right now. They are attempting to slide into the existing infrastructure, right? And there's definitely enough planets that are like, the Empire was maybe shitty, but they weren't specifically shitty to me. It was a reasonable and acceptable level of bureaucracy and you know, grift or whatever, right? Kind of like, you didn't actively hurt my people. It was annoying, but, like, you know, we weren't being visibly oppressed more than we could handle. So there's, like, places in the outer rim where they're like, you know, life hasn't drastically improved in any way since the New Republic stepped in, and we're feeling a little kind of, maybe we might be willing to listen to the Imperial Remnant after all. So New Republic intelligence has sent some agents out to do essentially spying on our own people kind of deal / domestic terrorism task force kind of thing, to see what the situation is outside of the core and outside of the worlds who most benefited from being part of the New Republic. And Leia, you know what? Leia's going to be on this task force because she's also looking for a settlement for the remaining people of Alderaan. Because Alderaan was a core world, right? Alderaan was one of the founding members of the Old Republic. Alderaan's people have been people in exile for 10 years, right? Because episode 4... Between episode 4 and episode 6 is a minimum of 4 years between when the first Death Star got blown up and an Alderaan went down and the moment when the second Death Star gets blown up, right? So 4 years plus 6 years is 10 years. Time is meaningless in galactic space, so I can make things up. Anyway, so the people of Alderaan have kind of been a people in exile slash a people of refugees in a way that Leia's like, look, I finally have enough clout that I can get this committee to do some of my feeling out for me in terms of what is a space that the people of Alderaan could settle on, and if not make a new Alderaan, at least have a consolidated home base. And then word comes that not only is this one planet in the Outer Rim in the middle of some significant political upheaval, and it might be relevant to your interest because your brother is from there, but also your name is popping up on the chatter from, and this one intelligence agent is sort of like, why are we talking about Leia Organa? Okay, oh, that's the other thing. Boba definitely thinks that it is Mrs. Leia Organa Solo because of the whole Bosch situation. And Leia Han is one of my most adored, delightful moments, and fuck episode 7 for telling me that they ever broke up like that. But specifically in this moment, we're going to say that Leia and Han are on and off. There's no, right now she is off, and there was no honeymoon where they fucked on the Halcyon, and that's where Ben Solo was conceived. So sorry, the Halcyon's canon will not be part of this AU. Anyway, so the Republic intelligence agent is sort of like, why is Leia Organa's name showing up in my intelligence reports? Because I didn't know that she had presence on Tatooine. And then that's how the report comes across her desk, because they're like, hey, here's what's going on in this situation. And also, by the way, it seems to be relevant to your specific interest. And that's how Leia is like, I can't just let them get away with whatever is going on here, because she doesn't fully, she never realized that when she killed Jabba the Hutt, she left behind a legacy like that, because Leia did not stick around. She had Han, and she had to get jump straight into, essentially, the battle over Endor. Episode 6 is a really busy, one very long, terrible day, right? Everything was happening all at once, and she never went back to Tatooine. And Luke also never went back to Tatooine, because his last memory was, sorry, technically my dad killed my aunt and uncle, or my dad's people killed my aunt and uncle, and it was a shitty day for him on Tatooine. So Leia has not necessarily given much thought to the reputation she left behind on Tatooine. So then when this comes up, she's like, Tatooine would not be my ideal, first choice for a relocation project for Alderaan, but we have the means, we have the power, we could call it an outpost of New Republic, diplomatic mission from Alderaan, humanitarian aid, maybe not full-on terraforming, but, like, something like that. We have the ability to make things better for Tatooine, and it could be a little bit of a look how benevolent the New Republic is as a PR stunt, should the New Republic weigh in a little bit on what's going on in Tatooine as well, right? So Leia's got a couple different things sort of percolating in the back of her head about what she's going to do with the fact that her name keeps popping up in chatter on Tatooine. And Mon is the Chancellor of the New Republic, because Mon Mothma deserves it after the last 50 years. And Leia, you know what? She sells it as, I should go check this out specifically because they know my name and they know my face. And in the back of her head, she's also thinking, if my name is on people's tongues, maybe there is an option for my people to be here too. She's not full on like, I am planning the relocation settlement efforts, but if Tatooine thinks they owe me, maybe I can make this work a little bit. And if I can't make this work specifically for Alderaan, then I can make this work for the New Republic as a PR effort / consolidating our hold in the Outer Rim so that basically the space between the core and the edge of the Outer Rim, that space in the Mid-Rim, will see that they've got New Republic on both sides. And maybe that'll reassure them that they're not being left hung out to dry after all. Those planets in the Mid-Rim that are starting to feel neglected again. So Leia's got a couple different things going on. And the other thing too is like, if I relocate the Alderaanian refugees here, like, why would we want to live on Tatooine? Why does the Hutt Empire ever want Tatooine? Because of our location in relation to the hyperspace lanes. If we set up the hyperspace equivalent of toll booths, everyone who has to take this route, like, you could turn that into tax money, into supporting local infrastructure, into importing some off-world terraforming equipment kind of situation. Maybe we get some last remnants of the Jedi Agra Corps who have been hiding for the last 30 years. Maybe we do some. We have something to make this an attractive location for basically the planetary equivalent of Flip or Flop, where we are improving our curb appeal in order to sell the house. We make Tatooine look like a relevant planet in relation to the rest of the galaxy. Ignore Luke's, if there is a bright center of the galaxy, this is not it, kind of comment from episode 4. And then, you know, if you convince people there's something worth coming for, you can start doing business that is legitimate, and you can, there's like, Leia's got a lot of things percolating, and they're not fully planned out, but she's got herself a lot of different options. And if one plan fails, she has a fallback plan. So she shows up on Mos Espa. And maybe this is a fun moment for her to show up in incognito, maybe not Bosch, but definitely a helmet situation. So she doesn't show up as herself, and she walks through the town center of Mos Espa, and she sees the statue, and maybe there's a moment of, they just can't get my nose right, because I love that line. But definitely a looking at this statue that is holding the actual chain, right? The color on her neck, around the neck of the statue, and the chain stretching from the neck to the hand upraised and from the fist dangling down in a wind chimes kind of way, but also like maybe the people have tied scraps of colored fabrics to the chains so that it has become less, here the symbol of that worst moment of my life, oppression kind of thing. Oh, not worst moment, because worst moment's still going to be when Alderaan fell. But like, shitty moment of my life, you know, visible sign of my bondage, into this is a celebratory decorative art piece thing, right? So maybe the locals have tied scraps of colored fabric to it, and there are not necessarily offerings laid at her feet, but votives kind of thing. Like when somebody dies in a car accident on the side of the road and there's like the votive candles and the flowers to commemorate them. But like,
commemorating Leia and her liberation of Mos Espa. So she's sort of like awestruck by this, because in her day to day, she doesn't necessarily see, like, there was that big multi-planet party when the second Death Star fell, but, you know, in the day-to-day drudgery of running a new government and attempting to weed out the corruption and reorganize a government that's going to benefit all of these planets and everything, you see the bureaucracy and the everyday mundanity. You don't see the, oh, we're actually grateful for what you did kind of stuff in Leia's office right now. So seeing that her I strangled the slug work was appreciated is particularly moving to her. And maybe that shapes, she doesn't want to be deified, but maybe that shapes her opinion about what her options might be for future of Tatooine and Alderaan here. So she stops by Madame Garza's, in a way that's not like I'm stopping to gamble and actually do intel gathering, but to see how the neighborhood has changed in the last 6 years. And it's whatever the space equivalent of gentrification is. The shitty cantinas are still there, but Leia is walking around and she's seeing, like, you know, this is sort of the, we've got the people who've got Bib Fortuna's backing and the people who've got the, I pay my protection money to the man sitting on the chair in Jabba's palace. And then you've got the people who I can't afford to pay protection money and my storefront is mysteriously scorched looking, or there is an unsavory element lurking on, you know, the equivalent of street corners kind of thing, providing that presence. And there's also some sign, like, I don't think there's signs in the city proper, but maybe Leia hangs out around the mayor's office for a little bit to catch some of the sort of flotsam and jetsam of the political situation. And she notices that there is, like, why are you talking about the Pikes? Why, or maybe not directly. No, nobody in the mayor's office is directly referencing, hey, we owe the Pikes money for letting them run, you know, spice through here and blah, blah, blah. But, like, maybe they're talking about something that there's a code word for the Pikes running spice through Tatooine. And it's something that Leia only knows because she did infiltration and undercover while the rebellion was still active. There's some conversation about something that should not be, something about this should not fit Tatooine. This is not a country I swear I know words. This is not a planet that necessarily needs or has an economy that can support whatever it is that keyword is that's happening in the conversation. And that's what tweaks her to, oh, also the Pikes are a player here. And that is new and unfortunate because we thought we dealt with the Pike Syndicate, back corewards. And then Leia makes her way, she rents a speeder, and she makes her way out to Jabba's palace, where she finds Boba sitting on his fancy crime chair, because give my good boy a fancy crime chair. And she sees Fennec sitting on the arm, and it's that scene from the end of The Mandalorian Season 2 post-credit, where he's sitting on the chair with his suspicious lack of codpiece. Sir, is that how we're running Tatooine these days? Just flashing your junk all over. And Fennec is sitting there slipping her neon Dayglo vodka, and they're taking petitioners or something. Boba is
he's posing, essentially, and people are walking up to petition for protection. And the thing is, Leia is waiting on the line, right? She's waiting for the majordomo droid to let her in, but she's in disguise. She is not showing up as Leia Organa. So when the majordomo says, "Who are you so I can announce you?" she says, "Bosh." And then there's that moment. Fennec Shand knows that Bosh is dead, maybe? Boba full-on knows that Bosh is dead and hasn't heard that name in this place in years. So it tweaks something for him. And he says something like, "Bosh, or should I say Hutt Slayer?" And then she pulls her hood down, and it is Leia Organa. And the majordomo droid's about to get super offended, but then Boba leans forward and takes his helmet off. Because this older Boba is much more comfortable taking his helmet off, and Leia has that moment of, oh, damn, you know, like, I would totally give you the elevator eyes, except that I'm here on business, because he is a little bit more back to Rific than when he first got spit out of the Sarlacc at that point. And they definitely have kind of a speaking look and a little bit of a conversation where we've got inside jokes and implication, or not jokes, but a conversation where what they're saying has more than one meaning, and that the conversation that like Fennec Shand and the majordomo droid are hearing is not necessarily the same conversation that Leia and Boba are hearing. And then she's like, "I hear you're doing good work in my name." And he's like, "I'm just doing what you started when you were here." And it's very like, there is a tension behind these words. And if we happen to attribute sexual tension to it too, that's totally okay. And then ultimately Leia is like, "Can we take this to a private setting?" And he says something like, "Are you going to wear the bikini again?" Or something like, not completely skeezy, but like, again, acknowledging sexy times in Jabba's palace from 6 years ago. And they leave the main petition hall. They leave Fennec to sit on the arm of the chair and take notes in Boba's name. And the majordomo droid is a little bit huffy, but nobody does huffy like 3PO, so Leia doesn't take it very seriously. And then they go off into a private room and have the conversation of, "Fine, I'll back you. What is going on here?" And like, Leia is good at what she does, so she doesn't full on straight up say, "I will do this work with you," because she knows that you have to present, "Here's what I want," in order to do a favor for you. And she knows that he's technically in the wrong at this point. And she also doesn't fully know what his angle is. So Leia says, "You know what, I'm doing this on behalf of the New Republic. We would totally love to take Tatooine as part of our space because the Hutt Empire." And Boba kind of buys it, but he also kind of sees that Leia has a tell that there's more to it than just the New Republic trying to consolidate inroads into the Hutt Empire. And he tells Leia that he's ready to settle down, and he gives her kind of the speech that he gave to Fennec Shand about, you know, people like us can't always be on the run. Eventually we want roots. And she buys it because it goes straight to her, "I want to settle the Alderaanian refugees someplace." Kind of, it goes straight to her heart right there. Maybe Boba mentions that he did work with Cara Dune because Alderaanian refugee. And because even though Gina Carano fucked up, I think the character of Cara Dune is fantastic. And Makes me very grumpy that we're not going to get a Cara Dune show because Gina Carano fucked up like that. Anyway, where is it going with this? Boba and Leia are both like, okay, we will work together to consolidate your hold and protect my reputation. And at the moment, I need your aid in order to keep the existing Hutt cousins out of my space and to keep the Pike Syndicate. I want my vengeance and I want to keep the Pike Syndicate out. And Leia's like, okay, keeping the Pike Syndicate from consolidating this whole is good for the New Republic because crime, syndicate, drug running, casualties of New Republic citizens who get in their way because the Pikes are shitty. And also, if we can keep the Hutt Empire from getting this stranglehold back, this toehold back again, then that's only good for the New Republic. And then she's also thinking, you know, if we can consolidate my name here, maybe we can do something. We make a new Alderaan quarter on Tatooine or something. And then what happens, it's not the scrappy, plucky townsfolk and one baby Rancor against the Pike Syndicate. It is political backroom dealings and Leia and Boba fake dating in the presence of the Pike Syndicate negotiation situation and fake she is my liege and I am her right-hand man in front of the Hutts, to the point where, because we have to be on display this whole time, like, they actually start developing feelings for each other. And then, of course, there is the how much of this is a production for others' benefits and how much of this is actually real feelings. And then there is the, well, I have kicked the Pikes successfully out of my space on Tatooine for now. Maybe Boba's going to go back to the Tuskens. Because they did adopt him, and that was the motivating factor for him in the first place, his vengeance against the Pikes, and let my people come back, right? Let me do a good turn for the people who saved me, kind of thing. And then maybe Leia's like, okay, well, if you're leaving and I'm bringing my people in, like, and they both think that they're getting what they wanted, so why do they feel bad? Spoiler alert! They feel bad because there are emotions involved and they both think they have to leave the other. Obviously, this comes out in a conversation between Leia and Fennec and Madame Garza. You know what? Leia and Fennec have got into town for a night on the town, a girl's night at the brothel. You know what? We'll get some massages. We won't pay for the happy ending, but we will pay for the massage. I miss human contact, Twi'lek content, contact kind of thing for the ladies. The ladies deserve some sexy massage time. Sure, it's a good time. And they're gambling and they're drinking and Madame Garza is playing bartender because Leia deserves, you know, this is the new boss in town and she deserves the glad handling. And somehow it comes out that Leia thinks Boba was only in it for the business transaction, and Leia thinks the last relationship she had with Han sort of like got put on the back burner because she was only having really time to do politics, and yet, you know, she's doing politics for here, and she's trying to resettle the Alderaanian refugees, and she's doing all this stuff, and she didn't expect to begin to love Fett, especially considering, you know, her past dealings with him. And Madame Garza and Fennec Shand share a speaking look over the shots of Spotchka while the cantina plays in the background. And basically the both of them are like, you know, a great way to make sure that the boss stays happy and the other boss stays happy is to get her head out of her ass, right? So maybe what happens is, you know, go home, Leia, you're drunk. Except Fennec is like, oh, well, I've found a partner. I'm going home for the night. Let me arrange your designated driver to get you home. And she calls Fett. And she doesn't fully say, I need you to be DD. So Fett does not come with a speeder bike built for two. He comes with his jetpack. So then he has to take Leia home, who is a little bit drunk. Not so drunk she's incapacitated, but drunk enough that maybe loose lips sink ships kind of deal. She's going to be a little more honest than she might have been if she weren't on her guard right now and like repressing her emotions. And maybe Fett picks her up bridal carry and jetpacks away because I think that's delightful and romantic. And somewhere along the route home back to Jabba's palace, because it's not the night he's leaving, but it's definitely he's leaving in the morning kind of thing. She says something about how they make a really good partnership and she never expected it. And you know, speaking looks, longing glances, things that he hasn't thought of as reciprocated kind of deal. And she says something that implies that it is fully reciprocated. And then he drops her off at her room for the night. And maybe she says, I stayed in your room last time. You're welcome to stay in mine. And he thinks she is incapacitated, so he doesn't say, yes, I'll take you up on it, but he wants to. And then maybe he says something like, well, I've got an early start in the morning. And then Leia says something like, well, the offer is always open whenever you're in. Or something. This is why I don't write words. I don't know how to have dialogue. Something that implies to Boba that the feelings have been reciprocated this whole time. And they're both adults. So he does go home to the Tuskens. And Leia does continue to rule out of Jabba's palace as she sorts out this resettlement of the Alderaanian refugees for the people who want to come. But maybe 2 weeks later, Boba comes back. And she didn't expect to see him because she thought their business was concluded. But he comes back as a petitioner. And then he does the big emotional leave your heart on the floor kind of speech in front of Fennec Shand and the Major Domo and some people from town, the mods or something, the mods squad, the kids with the cybernetic enhancements who have come to petition Leia for, we're looking for jobs or something. And also because Leia has managed to turn a protection racket situation into pay taxes, support your local infrastructure. Oops, we've accidentally a government. And then she's thinking it's going to be business as usual. Oh, is there something wrong with the Tuskens? Oh, you're my representative, blah, blah, blah. Why are you on your knees and why is your helmet off? And then he says something deep, meaningful speech. And then Leia, who has been sitting on the crime chair because everyone deserves a seat on the crime chair, gets up, stands up, walks forward, picks his helmet up, puts the helmet on the seat of the crime chair, puts her hands, because she's a tiny lady, on his shoulder. One on his shoulder, one on his cheek, looking up at him. And then there's the forehead-touching, helmetless Keldabe kiss. And then, as Fennec Shand starts wolf-whistling in the background, there is an actual mouth-on-mouth Alderaanian kiss. Cue the orchestra of crime music. The end. Or something to that effect. I didn't actually manage to fit enough real serious crime in there. But you know what? I don't know if it even counts as crime anymore, because at this point, Leia has attempted to legitimize Jabba's,
you know, stranglehold of the planet into, actually, this is a real government. You say you're the mayor? I would like to see your tax returns. I have decided to start interviewing for the position based on merit and not on crime syndicate connections. And at that point, it becomes the legitimate recognized government of at least part of Tatooine, and it can't be crime if it's done by the government. That's a conversation for Leia for later, especially when she writes home and is like, Mon, I'm busy this week. I have decided to relocate an entire planet's worth of survivors to this other planet, and I'm about to throw a lead weight onto the rubber sheet of power distribution of the New Republic. Oops. And Mon's kind of like, all you do is give me stress headaches. And it's great. And now, second, the end.